This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين يا رب العالمين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue in our explanation of the book of Ibn Taymiyyah, The Nature of Fasting, in which he goes through mainly the things that break one's fast. And in in the last session, we basically stopped at where the Sheikh mentioned, where he basically mentioned, after discussing the issue of vomit and how it breaks the fast if one intentionally does it, and mentioning the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that three things do not break the fast, and how one of them was vomit. And so he mentioned what that means is the one who does not intentionally do that. And then, after mentioning all of that, the Shaykh, he mentioned, and this is where we start from today, he mentions that there are those who, you know, put forward a question to the Shaykh, that you have mentioned that the one who intentionally breaks his fast without any excuse, that doing this is from the major sins. And the same thing can be said about the one who delays his salah. His salah, for example, salat al-dhuhr or salat al-asr, he delays it until the night. And then he prays it at night intentionally, without any excuse. Then the one who does this, he has done a major sin. And whoever does that, whoever delays the salah until the time is over intentionally, and there's no time now to pray it, the view of Ibn Taymiyyah regarding this is that such a person, he cannot make up that salah. So to clarify here, the one who delays his salah, he delays, for example, Salatul Dhuhr until the night, intentionally, without any valid excuse, without being, you know, out of forgetfulness, he forgot, or for whatever reason. Rather, he knew that this is the time of Salah, and I'm supposed to pray, and he delays it until the time finishes, and it's now nighttime. The view of Ibn Taymiyyah is that such a person does not have the chance to pray that salah again. So, al-qadha, we all know that if you miss your salah, you pray it. If you miss it, you didn't pray it on time, you pray it again. Ibn Taymiyyah is of the view that this is only for those who miss it for a reason. Like, for example, they forgot to pray that salah. And so they missed that salah with a genuine reason, a genuine excuse. So Ibn Taymiyyah is of the view that in this case, you can pray qadha. You would pray qadha in this case. But the one who intentionally misses it until the time is over, he has committed a major sin and there is no qadha for him. There is no chance for qadha for this person. So, and then he says, just like Jumu'ah, and this is by unanimous agreement, that the one who misses Salatul Jumu'ah, he cannot pray qadha of Jumu'ah. He doesn't pray qadha of Salatul Jumu'ah, but rather, he prays Dhuhr in its place. And he says the same thing with regards to stoning or Rami, when those during Hajj, when you go for Hajj and you're supposed to stone the pillars, if you do not do it at the time designated for that, then that's it, you've missed it. And so he says, you know, and other such ibadat that have a specific time for them, and there is no qadha for them. So Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, this is an objection to me with regards to what we have spoken about concerning vomiting. So what did we mention previously concerning vomiting? That the one who intentionally vomits, then there is a hadith that was mentioned, and that is that he should make up for that day. He does qadha. He has broken his fast because he did it intentionally, and now he has to make up. He has to make up that day. And that hadith is من استقاء فعليه القضاء. The one who vomits. It's not like vomit overtook him. No, he intentionally vomits. Then he has to do qadha. And so here, this is the dilemma that, you know, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was confronted with. That you're saying that you're not, on the one hand, you're saying that certain ibadat, like salah, for example, the one who intentionally misses it, that's it. There's no chance for qadha. But here now, with regards to fasting, the one who intentionally vomits, you're saying, based on this hadith, that he must make up for that day. So the Shaykh, he answers this objection. And so what he mentions is that such a person who intentionally vomits, he could intentionally vomit for a legitimate reason. And so what he's saying is that just because he intentionally vomited, it does not mean he is sinful. Not in every case. And so there are cases where the one who vomits, he did it for a valid reason. Knowing that, you know, this will break my fast if I do it intentionally. For example, he says, someone who, they may have eaten something that was doubtful. They may have eaten something that was doubtful concerning whether it's halal or not. And it appears to them that, you know what, later on they find out that this was haram what they ate. He cites for this Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who once he had eaten from basically from the food that was presented to him by a soothsayer, a fortune teller. And so he went and he threw up that food intentionally. He let it out, he vomited it out. And he says, Ibn Taymiyyah says, likewise, anyone who, you know, they need to vomit, and so they do it intentionally, then for such people, they did that for a legitimate, genuine reason. Therefore, these people are not sinful. And for them, they can now do qadha, they can make up for that day. And so that is the difference between doing it intentionally without any reason, and this being regarded as being sinful, and doing it intentionally, but with a legitimate reason, for a legitimate reason. And then he mentions actually that someone who vomits in this case is no different than the sick person. The sick person who he will not fast because he is sick, and he will make up the days later on in after Ramadan. Likewise, this individual, he is no different than a sick person. And so someone who is not feeling well, and you know, their stomach is giving them problems during the daytime in Ramadan, and they have to throw up and they vomit, they are no different than a sick person. They are classified as being ill and sick. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that concession for the sick people, that they don't have to fast and they have to make up the days that they missed. And such people are not considered sinful for doing that. And then after this, the Shaykh mentions, how about the one who intentionally, or how about the one who has sexual relations when fasting? Because we know that this breaks one's fast. And there's a hadith in that regard. Basically, a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, you know, I am ruined. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him why. He said, I had sexual intercourse with my wife while I was fasting. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him what to do. He had to pay a penalty for that, a kafara. And basically the Shaykh says, there is a narration that mentions, of this hadith that mentions, in addition to that kafara, he ordered him to make up for that day, to do qadha, to make up for that day. So now the Shaykh will address this, because this is related to our discussion concerning qadha. And so he says, this additional narration is actually da'if, it's actually not authentic. So that addition, where the Prophet ﷺ, it is said that he ordered him to, you know, make up for that day that he missed, he says that this is not authentic. Rather, he only ordered him to pay kafara, to do the penalty. And we'll talk about what the penalty for that is. So the Shaykh, he mentions this, he gets into discussion about this hadith and its and that addition to it. Then after that, he mentions that this individual, he, you know, had relations with his wife intentionally. And it was not something that happened unintentionally or out of forgetfulness or being ignorant of the ruling. Rather, he knew what he was doing. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to go for the kafara, the penalty. Because, and the Shaykh will mention this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not penalize us for something that we did out of forgetfulness or being ignorant of the ruling or not being or being forced to do it, for example. But rather, we are only penalized when we do something knowingly, intentionally, without being forced. And so the Shaykh says, as for somebody who does that forgetfully, someone who has sexual relations during the month of Ramadan in the daytime when fasting, he does that forgetfully, then he says that the scholars differed. And so we have three different opinions of the scholars concerning that. He says the first view is that such a person, there is no qada for him. He doesn't have to make up that day, nor is there any kafara for him, nor is there any penalty for him. And he says this is the view of Imam Shafi'i and Imam Abu Hanifa and the majority of the scholars. The second view is that he has to make up for that day, al-qada, without any kafara, without any penalty. And this, he says, is the view of Imam Malik. This is the view of Imam Malik. The third view, that he has to do both. He has to make up for that day, qada, and in addition to that, he has to pay the penalty, the kafara. And he says that this is the more widely well-known view. This is the more widely well-known view in the madhab of Imam Ahmed. In the madhab of Imam Ahmed. And then he says, after mentioning these three opinions, these three views, he mentions that the first view, the first opinion, he says this is the more correct view. This is the more correct view. Which view was that? The view that such a person, the one who has sexual relations when fasting in the month of Ramadan, forgetfully, not intentionally, but rather he forgot. He forgot he was fasting, for example. He says the correct view is that such a person, there is no qada upon him. He doesn't have to make up for that day. Nor is there any penalty for him. Nor is there any kafara for him. Why? The Shaykh now will explain his reasoning for that. His reasoning for why this is the more correct view. He says, his justification for this, he says that if we were to analyze the Quran and the Sunnah, we find in the Quran and in the Sunnah that whoever does something wrong by mistake or forgetfully, then he is not held accountable for doing that. This person is not held accountable for that, not in this dunya nor in the next. So somebody who does something by mistake, unintentionally, there is nothing, he is not held accountable. And, you know, he mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا Our Lord, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the dua we make, that, O Allah, our Rabb, do not hold us accountable for that which we forgot and for that which we did by mistake. And so he says, Ibn Taymiyyah says, as such, the person who does this, he doesn't get sinned for what he did. And as such, it's as if he never did it. It's as if he never did it. Because a person who does something that is wrong, and he doesn't get the sin for that, he doesn't get the sin for that recorded for him, then on the Day of Judgment, it won't be brought forward. So it's as if he never did it. It's as if he never did it. Why? Because every single thing that we do in this dunya, good or bad, it's recorded for us. And we will find it in our record of deeds, good or bad. But when we do something, that is wrong, but we did it, out of forgetfulness, we did it unintentionally, we did it, perhaps we were forced to do it, then it does not get written as a sin. It does not get written as a sin. As such, it's as if the person did not do it. And then he mentions that here we have an objection, and that is, how about the Hajj? And so, or it's not really an objection, but rather the Shaykh is using this as evidence. And so, in the Hajj, there are certain things that we are not supposed to do while in the state of Ihram. And these are known as mahdhurat al-ihram, the things that nullify the state of ihram. They don't nullify the state of ihram, but these are things that we get penalized for if we do them while in the state of ihram. For example, sexual intercourse is one of those things. Also, cutting our hair, cutting our nails, and so on and so forth. The Shaykh says, if a person does these things while in the state of ihram, he has to, there is a penalty for that. There is a fidya that he has to pay for that. But this does not nullify his hajj. Does that nullify his hajj? No. His hajj is still okay. His hajj is still valid. His hajj is still valid. So he says, the Shaykh uses this as evidence that there are certain things that we may do that are wrong, and we get penalized for that, but our act of ibadah still remains valid. And so how do you explain that penalty, that fidya that the person has to pay? He says that this is no different to a child or a person who is insane, who is liable for what he damages of property, for example. So a child or someone who is insane, he goes and smashes a window of a car. The child and the insane person are not held accountable, right? They're not held accountable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever wrong they do, they're not held accountable. That's fine. They will not get the sin for that. But now, who's going to pay the damage that they have done? They are liable for the damage that they do. So if they do damage to something, to property or to an individual, they are liable for that. And so, you know, whoever is their guardian, he has to now pay for that damage. So the Sheikh is saying the penalty, the fidya, the kafara that we have in Hajj or in fasting, for example, that is no different to this. So he's mentioning all of this. The Sheikh mentions all of this for a reason. And that is because he mentioned the scenario where a person has sexual relations in Ramadan when fasting out of forgetfulness. So what does he have to do? The Sheikh says that such a person, he does not pay anything, no kafara, nor does he have to make up for that day. But the one who intentionally does it, then for him there is the kafara. And basically the kafara, the penalty is either he has to feed 60 people or he has to fast for 60 consecutive days. And then after that, the Sheikh, goes on a tangent, speaking about matters related to Hajj and what breaks that the things that we're not supposed to do in Ihram, in the state of Ihram, that if a person does, there's a penalty. He goes into talking about as-sayd, hunting, and he goes on that tangent, and then later on he'll come back to the issue of fasting. And this is where we'll stop for today, insha'Allah ta'ala. And we will continue from here in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our good deeds, our fasting, our qiyam, our recitation of the Quran, our sadaqat, and all of our good deeds during this blessed month of Ramadan. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah, Abu Huraira Center has grown from just an idea in 1995 to two centrally located, easy access centers that stretch over 3 acres and 63,000 square feet. Our vision has always been to facilitate the spiritual application and growth of our community. Abu Huraira, your center, brings the community together and offers a variety of regular programs and ongoing ones, including a full-time Islamic school, a full-time health program, a weekend Islamic programs, youth programs, counseling services, conferences and events, and much, much more. We know that the pandemic has affected all of us this year, but alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. After the seeking the help from Allah, we are also seeking your continuous generous donation to support our center. Donations are needed for our annual operations and to pay off the interest-free loans for the new property. Please see the link below and support your masjid today.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح.